Hello, and welcome to another one of Dr. Jane's 10-Minute Positive Mental Health Podcasts. In this week's podcast, I wanted particularly to talk about family feuds, family breakdowns. There's not many people, there's not many families in the country, in the world, that at some point or another haven't had some, even if it's just a minor disagreement. You know, families are not perfect, people are not perfect. But I particularly wanted to talk about family breakdowns, family feuds, because of a couple I saw. Now, it was a mother and a son, and they'd come to me, I think, on the suggestion of their GP, who was just at his wit's end with them. He didn't, you know, either one of them would just keep turning up with problem after problem after problem that weren't really medically related, but, you know, he was just kind of tearing his hair out. And so they ended up coming to me. So we'll call her Stephanie. This is Mum, and she was in her 60s, early 60s. And then she had a son called Peter, who was in his late 30s. Now, what had happened with these two was Peter had actually got married. He'd had a couple of children, but that relationship had broken down. He was quite, a stuck character, and there was no kind of leeway with him, and I'm not entirely sure of the absolute reason why his marriage broke down, but he was quite a stubborn person, and it just, I don't know, there was just, it broke down. And what happened was he ended up coming back to live with his mum. Dad, Stephanie's husband, had died a few years earlier, so it was just the two of them. Now, he'd come back, and they'd always had, they talked about always having quite a bit of a fractious relationship. Even when he was a youngster, you know, she'd get him to do things or want him to do things that he didn't want to do. He'd come up with all sorts of excuses. You know, there was always called like this air of conflict. And they both said individually that Dad, when he was alive, he commented on it as well. And, you know, he kind of felt that he couldn't really do anything, but he certainly commented on the fact that there was always this slight, you know, conflict and fractious relationship between them from an early age. So he'd come back to live with Stephanie. Peter had come back to live with Stephanie. And then there was some incident that happened. I'm not too sure, again, about the absolute details of it from both sides, but it resulted in Peter taking a, you know, reasonable amount of money from Stephanie, from her bank account, and she saying that that wasn't what was agreed. Anyway, to cut a long story short, she ended up calling the police, who got involved, and Peter ended up with I think the money was paid back, so there wasn't a prosecution, but he ended up with a caution. Now, what had happened was he had got a job in IT in a school. He was sort of like, you know, he worked on the IT department of a large school. And he says that his caution that he then had to talk about to his employer resulted in him getting sacked. Now, how true this was, I'm not too sure, but this is what Peter was absolutely saying. And he was now stuck at home, unable to move out because he couldn't get a job because his mum had called the police on him and had got him a caution, which he didn't agree with. And they were stuck in this terrible, terrible loop of both living in the same place, because Stephanie wasn't obviously going to see him on the streets, which was all he said was the alternative. And so that, you know, they were stuck in this loop. So he was living at home. She wanted him to move out. He couldn't move out because he couldn't get a job. And, you know, the fact that they hadn't, you know, laid hands on one another was just, you know, testament to just about something holding on between the pair of them. So they came to see me. They did that typical thing where they came in and tried to sit as far apart as each other. And where I see people, I kind of get them that, you know, it's just the confines of the room. They have to sit on a small sofa together. So, you know, they were sitting as far apart as possible on a small sofa, which is not unusual when I see, you know, couples, but that's what they were doing. And I'd kind of broke a rule, and I actually got one of them to sit further away, because being in such close confined contact with each other or proximity to each other wasn't actually a good start. So I did actually get one of them to sit on a further chair, so they were further away. So Peter, you know, when I spoke to him, he seemed to come over with this, you know, he absolutely said, you know, categorically that he loathed his mother. He acted because of what she'd done to him. But then when I asked him, well, why, you know, why were you still living with her? Why were you happy to let her put a roof over your head and dinner on the table, etc., etc.? Of course, that's what she should do, because he was her mother. She was his mother, and that's what she should do. So he came across with a huge sense of entitlement and nothing to actually justify it. So we knew where we were kind of coming from with him. Stephanie, on the other hand, I think she was genuinely sorry that this thing had happened, but she'd said that she'd asked him if he could pay the money back. He said that she said it was a loan, or, you know, whatever it was. But there was this real poor lack of communication. And one of the reasons you get family breakdowns is, you know, there's a number of reasons. There's, you know, the fear of what's going to happen in the future. Anger, obviously, anger was just seeping out of this man. And anger is because of a fear of what's going to happen in your future. Frustration because, you know, your life's not going the way you want it to. And, you know, because people weren't backing him up the way that he expected them to or wanted them to. He was hurt as well. So he was, you know, he had a lot going on, this guy. And I think his mum was kind of bearing the brunt of it. And she said if she could have gone to the police, if she could have kind of got it all revoked, exactly, that's what she would have done. And she'd been to the station. She'd spoke to the borough commander or whoever it was, and they said no, you know, basically once these things are filed, they're filed and they can't be gone back on. So yes, there was this real poor communication between them, and there was only the two of them. There was nobody to break this up, and I think that had been Dad's role throughout their lives, that he was there to break things up. He had very limited contact with his family. He had two daughters from his family, two youngsters, so he would see them occasionally, but again, it was another thing that he would say, well, I can't see them because I can't take them out because I haven't got any money. And then Stephanie would say, well, you know, they were her grandchildren, obviously, so she didn't want them to go without. So she would give him money so he could take them out. And it kind of got to the point where she felt she was buying, you know, a rest from him. If he went out with the girls for a day, it cost her, I don't know, 50, 60 pounds, but she was willing to pay that because it actually got a rest from him being there. When he came back, inevitably, she would ask him about how it went, and, you know, she'd show genuine interest. But because he was feeling hard done by, he never got any, you know, she never got any response from him, or if she did, whatever it was, wasn't a very positive response. So, you know, there was this negativity, there was this loop going on. So what we did right from the start was we established clear goals, which is exactly what you have to do. Now, Stephanie's goals were to, she said, have a better relationship with him. She genuinely wanted to have a better relationship with him. She wanted him to move out because she felt that once he was, you know, they weren't under the same roof, that helped tremendously. And his goal was to make her fully understand the implications of her actions, which she did. She totally did. And when she was saying about having, you know, spoken to the borough commander about getting the caution rescinded, he didn't know that. And that came as a bit of a surprise to him. It wasn't quite enough, but it started going a little bit of somewhere for him to slightly, you know, see things from other people's points of view. Now, when we talk about points of view, you know, you would sit there. So the goals were, you know, from Stephanie, just to go back, goals were for Stephanie to be able to move on, for him to move out and have a proper life and enjoy himself. And his was to make her understand, which she did. And when I asked him further what goals he had for himself, what would he like to do? We were hitting a brick wall all the time, because it always came back to the fact that he couldn't get a job because he had this caution and therefore he couldn't move. And it was almost as if he was punishing his mum. And when I said this to him and I said that to her, she said it was very much like that when he was a youngster. If something went wrong at school, she would be the one that would take the brunt of it because she'd sent him to that school, or she hadn't got him the right trainers or something. But there was always this sense of entitlement. And when that entitlement doesn't come through, there was punishment. And that's what he was doing. So we said about goals, we talked about timescale. We talked about, obviously, finances. Now, the thing that Stephanie was prepared to do was she was going to be selling her property, and she was prepared to give him enough money to put down as a deposit to either rent somewhere or to buy somewhere. Now, when we had these discussions, Peter was a bit grumpy about that. And when I asked him why he was grumpy, this is what he wanted, surely. As a 38-year-old man, he didn't want to be living with his mum. Of course he didn't, he said. But he was still grumpy about it because I think he thought that the situation was going to go on. And I think the reason that he thought the situation was going to go on was because he wanted it to. This became his drama. This became him. This became his identity. Now, he admitted that he didn't have an awful lot else going on in his life. He saw his children. They were being very well brought up by their mother. And, you know, that was a sort of like a difficult relationship. And he transferred the drama of home when he was younger to the drama of the relationship that he had with the children's mother. And then when that ended, he transferred the drama back to home. But Stephanie was just kind of getting a bit too old. She didn't kind of want to be engaged with this. And it was all about the drama. And people that are drama magnets, as I call them, they want all the drama. It's because they feel that they lack other things of substance, of worth going on in their life. So that's what I did with Peter. I started looking at the stuff that he could really properly attribute to himself and feel good about himself. Okay, so at the moment he was stuck getting a job, but that wasn't going to last forever. It was only a very small conviction. He needed to find out the legal side of that. What else could he be doing in the meantime? So it kind of got him just not quite out of the loop, because he was still feeling very sorry for himself, but it got him slightly going towards the edge of the loop, so we could do something just beyond, you know, just keep going round in this circle that he'd got himself stuck in. So it was really important to establish clear goals as the potential couple, but clear goals as the individuals as well. Communication had obviously been a problem between these two for a long time. So the things like, you know, when he got home from seeing the girls, they agreed to kind of pick their times to talk to each other, to have anything to do with each other. One of them was not to speak to one another if either one was tired, not to speak to one another if either one was hungry, and not to speak to each other, you know, beyond, is everything okay? Did you have a nice time? Let's get more detail about him seeing his children. Because that used to make him angry. He felt, you know, very hard done by about the whole situation. So it was about give it a couple of days and they could speak to each other. So they started, it almost sounded a little bit formal, but it kind of worked a little bit for them. And when you have such a bad situation like this, a little bit is as good as it sometimes gets, and then you can move on from there. So they kind of picked their time for communication. There are sort of like very, you know, straightforward things you can do. You could actually say to one, you know, both parts of a couple, just tell me about the good things about that person. That was stuff that we potentially could have gone on to do a little bit later. We needed to kind of just get things teased out a little bit between them and certainly see them on their own. I only saw them for a couple of times because of finances. They couldn't actually afford to come. But I feel that we'd kind of shifted it just a little bit. It was, you know, when they left, things had shifted just a little bit from when they came. And that was probably as important as it was going to get. And that was as good as it was going to get at that time. So when you have a fractured relationship, a feud, a breakdown within your family, just try and think of, you know, making sure when you have your communication, pick your times. You know, there's that saying, pick your battles. That's a point if something needs to be spoken about, but pick your times of communication, pick your how of communication, because you will get so much further. And just have a reflect as well about why it is you're in that situation. You know, like Peter, he was doing that classical thing, conflict and drama, moved it to somewhere else, didn't work, moved it back to where it came from in the first place. And it was the dialogue, it was how he was used to communicating with people, and he needed to kind of, you know, reassess how he did that. So this has been Family Breakdowns, Family Feuds. I hope, you know, I never heard from them again, so I'm not entirely sure what happened to them. Didn't read any sort of like terrible headlines in the paper, so let's, you know, fingers crossed everything was all good. I have been Dr. Jane. This has been a 10-minute positive mental health podcast. I will speak to you again very soon. And don't forget to look at the library, because there's all sorts of stuff there that will be of interest to all sorts of people. I will speak to you again very, very soon.